Good morning, everybody. Time for Mile High Magazine on your favorite radio station. We're here every Sunday morning with all kinds of great information. I am Murphy Houston, and today is no different. Joining me is the Colorado Preservation Inc.'s Executive Director, Jennifer Origo Charles. Jennifer, welcome to Mile High Magazine.
Well, thank you for having me. Good morning, everyone.
Well, we love having folks on that you've been around a long time, and I've been around a long time, but yet I am not sure what the Colorado Preservation is. Can you explain what it is for us?
Sure. So we're a statewide nonprofit organization that's featured around historic preservation. So we work with individuals and communities across Colorado, helping them save places that are, you know, historic and important, not only to them and the local communities, but to all of us, you know, that live in this state and those that are visiting, really helping to safeguard this unique heritage that we're so fortunate to have in Colorado. And we do that in a lot of different ways. We have different programs and events that we have that support education and advocacy and working to preserve some of these projects directly through our preservation services department.
Wow, that's great. Now, I understand from my notes here that this is your 40th anniversary. So what have you been up to for the past 40 years?
You know, just four decades is just a short time, right? We've done quite a bit. You know, the organization started very grassroots, this identified need that there really needs to be one overarching nonprofit organization that works with local communities to help save places. So, you know, kind of we've done that in a lot of different ways, everything from expanding our conference to different programs that we have. We have a program called Colorado's Most Endangered Places, where the public can let us know of places that are threatened in the state that are, you know, too significant to lose, and we'll work with them over the year. And we've done a lot of work in the historic preservation tax credit that's now available for not only private property owners, but nonprofit organizations and for-profit companies that are looking at ways to adapt their historic resources. So really, at the end of the day, it's all about saving places, right? It's a celebrating place, not as something that is frozen in time, but can adapt to meet, you know, current and future needs. And then celebrating people, you know, what's a building if it's not appreciated by the public? And so how do you, you know, create communities that retain this context of its evolution over time? And again, are places that are adapted so that they're still relevant today.
Well, that is so true. And I'll bet in Colorado, there's been a ton of these kind of preservation places that people didn't even know about until you came along and help save these places. Is that right?
Well, you know, there are quite a few. And I would say that, you know, if you're driving around and you're stopping in a historic community, or if you're along a main street and you're admiring some of the buildings there or looking at some of the unique cultural landscapes that we have, there's a really good chance that our organization has been involved in some way. You know, through the projects that we have, we typically take on about 16 a year. And you can imagine for 40 years, that's quite a bit. So we've done everything from survey to, rehabilitation and education, like our conference that's coming up.
Unbelievable. Can you give us examples? I would imagine you're saving not just in the Denver area, but all over the state of Colorado. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, one of the ones that's getting a lot of press recently is, you know, Colorado's almost open new national park, Amache, that's down in Grenada. Of course, a place of sadness. You know, this was an area where during World War II, Japanese Americans were, moved onto this confinement site.
Right, right.
And, you know, since 2002, our organization has been involved working to work with the local groups and, you know, the groups that are part of the Preservation Society, but making sure that at that time, once they closed it in 1945, all the buildings, for the most part, were gone. There were a few remnants. There were lots of foundations that were still in place. But, you know, over time, we've introduced some interpretive signs. We've brought some buildings back. There's a guard tower. There's a water tower. We actually found a building in Grenada that we've moved back and kind of built out, and lots of archaeology going on. So that's one that has gotten a lot of press, but I would say on our website there's quite a few places, you know, hundreds of places that we're working to save.
Unbelievable. That's good news there. And how do you get your funding for all of this? You are a nonprofit, so where's the help coming from?
Well, you know, we really rely on member support and donations from the public. You know, we do have a membership program, but a lot of it is grants as well. We're so fortunate in Colorado to have funding known as the State Historical Fund that comes from the portion of the gambling proceeds in the historic community. So Black Hawk, Cripple Creek, Central City, if you're spending money gambling in those communities, a portion of it goes into a pot that supports historic preservation. And that money is available for people to apply to grants. I think they have two cycles throughout the year. So our organization applies for quite a few of those grants. And we actually receive a grant for not only the Endangered Places Program, but also the conference that's coming up.
Well, that's fantastic. Quickly, give me your website before we start talking about the conference, because it's a big deal, too. What is your website?
Well, our website is coloradopreservation.org, and I would say, you know, as a nonprofit organization, funding is always critical, so we're working to get a new website up. So if you go to it right now, it's going to say that we're not a secure site. You know, we're not taking any credit card information on that site.
Okay.
So if you just
okay.
hit advance, you can go to it. But we have a special website for our conference. That's savingplacesconference.org.
Yeah, that's very important. And let's get to that. Now, we're talking about the Colorado Preservation, Inc., but they're having a big conference coming up called Saving Places. And if you could, Jennifer, explain that, because it sounds like a big deal.
Yeah, this is going to be the 27th year of this conference. It's typically 3 days of, you know, engaging content with dynamic speakers, really focusing on a different theme that we choose each year. And, you know, I would say for all of you that are listening, if you have an appreciation or love for Colorado or history and heritage and want to find out more, you know, this could be a conference for you. It's not just for the professionals, of which we have quite a few that attend, but a lot of our sessions talk about how do you get funding for your project and how do you find the right contractors and workers that, you know, have worked with historic buildings. Sometimes there's extra finesse that
right.
Involves, you know, really making sure you have the contractors that know what they're doing with historic buildings. So, you know, it's a great place to network and get connected to some of these folks. You know, we have everything from architects to city planners to archaeologists, even, you know, just property owners that are interested. And this year, our theme is focused on sustainability and resiliency. So there's going to be a lot of themes that look at, you know, let's take solar panels, you know, can solar panels be adapted to historic buildings? And if so, you know, looking through some of the materials and what works and what doesn't, looking at some of the specific challenges that Colorado has with things like wildfire, you know, what are some protections that can be put in place for wood buildings, and looking at case studies of what other communities are already doing to see if there's some takeaways there that can be brought, you know, to your own community or to your own project.
It sounds fascinating, and I'm a kind of a history guy. I love history. I love Colorado history. I mean, if I just wanted to come and observe what's going on at Saving Places, can you do that just to take it in?
You can, you know, and we'd love to have you. You know, we have a first-time-only rate that's significantly reduced. We also have an online-only rate. So the conference is going to be in Boulder at the Embassy Suites January 31st through February 2nd. But, you know, if the weather's bad or you just don't feel like participating in that way, you can do online-only. It's a little over $100, I want to say, and you get access to all of that content, not only live if you want to watch it live, but you have access up to 6 months afterwards. And, you know, I would say even more importantly, if you're somebody that really wants to attend this conference, but let's say you just can't afford the rate, but you wouldn't be here otherwise, reach out to me. This is really all about education and promoting and celebrating Colorado, its history and heritage. So I would much rather you be there than not. So don't let that deter you either.
So you go to savingplacesconference.org and it's got all that information, right?
That's right. Yeah. And if you we can give my information out too if people want to contact me directly.
Well, I know you're like aren't you one of the biggest preservation conferences in the whole country on what you've done over all these 27 years?
You know, we are. We're very fortunate. We typically get between 600 and 800 attendees. We are going to have the governor joining us Wednesday morning as well. So there's a lot of publicity and recognition that comes with this conference. Usually, you know, there's a similar statewide nonprofit organization doing preservation in most states in the U.S.,
right.
But not all of them are able to do a conference like we are. And a lot of that has to do with the grant funding that we receive from, you know, the History Colorado and the Colorado State Historical Fund. So we're incredibly fortunate to be able to offer this to residents. And yeah, behind the National Trust Conference, we're second up for attendees.
Well, that's better than being last, I'm sure. My goodness. I can't even imagine what the discussions must be like. All these different people there, as you mentioned, historians, realtors, homeowners. Does it get like heated if they disagree on stuff, or is it must go on forever, just total discussion?
Well, yeah, you know, that's what we like to do. We don't shy away from hard discussions, too, because there's a lot of, you know, what is preservation? Preservation for whom? You know, when you look at the early history of the movement, there's, you know, intended to be a certain type of building that was restored. And
sure.
Preservation kind of, as a movement, looks to, you know, the current and the future of the movement. What are we preserving? We want to make sure that the places that are still standing are representative of all cultures and individuals and all of those that have a story and made Colorado home. So, you know, we have lots of sessions working with the indigenous communities. We have lots of speakers as well that cover these different topics. And, you know, sometimes it's great to have a discussion with all of those that just support what you do, but really where you make change is bringing in lots of different voices that have different perspectives and can talk about how we're moving forward and what we need to do to remain relevant.
Talking with Executive Director Jennifer Orrego-Charles of Colorado Preservation, what's your favorite part of the big Saving Places Conference? You've been there a few times. What do you like?
You know, yeah, I would say really it's all about the people. You know, when we're meeting with all these individuals that are working directly in their communities, I mean, preservation is hard. And a lot of the buildings that we're working with and a lot of the buildings that our partners are working with, it's not just one and done in a year or two. You know,
this can be
a 10-year-plus effort to save. And so when you're really talking with the people that are on the ground level doing this and, you know, putting their heart and soul into protecting these places and saving them for a reason, you know, that just it makes my heart sing. It really does.
Yeah.
And getting to speak with so many people and hearing their stories and really hearing the impact stories after the event, people will reach out to us and let us know what happened because they attended. You know, were they connected with the right community that now they're doing a similar project, you know, locally? Or, you know, there's so many different stories of what happens because people chose to attend the conference. I certainly love hearing those.
So the Saving Places Conference, it's savingplacesconference.org to get signed up, get more information. Now, do you announce the most endangered places at the conference?
Yeah, so we talked about that a little bit. You know, this is a program that we've been doing for quite a while. We started this in 1997, and essentially throughout the year, we have nominations that the public can notify us of places that are threatened in some way. We select as a board and a staff and a committee which places we're going to be highlighting and working directly with in that next year. And so the conference is when we officially make this notification. So we work with CBS Colorado. They do a great job putting together some of the stories for us. So they go on site ahead of time, interview people, kind of walk through the place that's
sure.
going to be listed and tell a little bit of the story. Because I have to say, you know, over the years, a lot of these places, people might drive by and wonder, wait, you can save that? And why? And so, you know, kind of seeing it, especially some of these have been abandoned for, let's
sure.
say, 20-plus years. So not only just seeing the abandoned place, but hearing about the hope behind the place and what it can be, the vision for the future, it's really so inspiring. And we invite the local individuals that are tied to
That's
those
good.
Places that we're going to announce at the conference and at the luncheon.
Well, it's the big annual Saving Places Conference. Go to savingplacesconference.org for more information. Coming up on January 31st through the 2nd up in Boulder, of 2nd of February. And Jennifer, thanks for coming on Mile High Magazine today. Appreciate it.
All right. right. Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
You too.
And you too. Hang on now. We got more coming up. It's Mile High Magazine.